in the house with yours truly. And guess what? I'm on time today, damn it. It wasn't staying still trapped where I'm parked on the West Side Highway because of a car explosion in the Bronx that affected Wall Street. No, I'm here. Molly's here. Mad Dog's here. You checking out the outfit right now? Mad Dog Russo, usually on radio. Bummy t-shirt all wrinkled, struggling and everything like that. He comes on television, sharp blazer, a chain, not even a blue tie. What the hell is this world coming to? What the hell is this world coming to? I must confess, I am impressed. You're getting there, buddy. You're getting there. First takes in the house. Let's go.
This is the only job that I've ever wanted in the entire world.
The snap. Josh gonna throw it.
Everybody's looking at you.
As all day long, to scan the field.
I'm just thankful that I ended up here in Buffalo.
Now he's pressured, gets away from it, fires one.
Everything that I've ever wished for is here.
Into the end zone, and it is caught. It's a Buffalo touchdown.
Run it up, he's got it. Into the end zone.
He's got it. Touchdown.
Go!
Are you kidding me?
Let's go get a dub. 1-3, 1-2-3.
It's V-Week on ESPN as we continue Jim Valvano's fight against cancer.
Fired up, it's Wednesday. Mad Dog's in the building. Let's go, baby. Let's go. We're going to get some
of these. I'm ready. Nice coat. I look sharp as a tack.
You do.
I'm ready to go today.
You look great. Your hair slicked back.
I got a haircut on Friday. I got my nice little haircut.
He's a handsome devil.
He's a part of the TV generation now.
And here's the most important thing.
What?
On time.
I know. Did you see that yesterday?
That's what we're doing.
I'm wondering, did you see that yesterday?
We'll see it a little later on as well.
We're going to see it again.
That's what we do it.
You're our fearless leader.
Okay.
And you show up late to battle.
Yeah, really? Man. Listen, it's evidence. All you got to do is go look at the cameras. I'm parked on the West Side Highway.
Well, when you leave at 5 to 10, that's a major problem.
What are you talking about?
I'm leaving at 7:30.
I should have been here at 9 o'clock. I mean, it was
ridiculous. You can't leave that mansion of yours at 9:55.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, well, have fun. Go ahead, Molly. How are you today? All right?
I'm amazing.
Good.
Thank you.
Look at that. I'm amazing. But I'm the one, you know, I'm the one with the ego issue, but that's all right. How you doing, Molly?
I'm happy to be here.
Let's go. I'm happy to see you.
Let's go. Tomorrow. We have a good one on Thursday Night Football. It's an AFC's matchup when the Bills travel to the Patriots. Buffalo dealing with some concerning news after Von Miller suffered a knee injury on Thanksgiving in Detroit. Von addressed his status on his podcast yesterday. Take a listen, fellas.
I did get hurt. You know, the news is not the best of news, but it's definitely not the worst of news. It's kind of like in the middle. But, you know, I do have some lateral meniscus damage, and it's going to have to be addressed. But I do feel like I can, you know, play through that. So I'm just going to wait a little bit, let the swelling go down for about, you know, 7 to 10 days. And, you know, hopefully right before the Jets game, I will be back.
I said to say one thing. You saw the silk overalls, right?
I wasn't looking that
way. Okay. Well, if the Cowboys make it to the Super Bowl, will you wear those silk overalls
no.
at first take?
No, no.
Come on.
No.
My God.
I will tell you this.
You're not a good sport
at all.
If the Cowboys
were to win the Super Bowl, y'all won't be able to find me for about a month.
Okay.
I'll need to recover from the nauseousness that I feel from the Cowboy fans getting on my last damn nerves. I'll find every excuse under the sun to get time off.
Okay.
And I usually don't do that.
Well, find him at the Phoenician in a suite upstairs in Phoenix is where we'll find him. Right? Or the Biltmore. Which one is it?
The Biltmore? In Phoenix? Well, the Biltmore is not.
Okay. All right. Let's go. I tried. When you look at the conference as a whole, I'll start with you, Doggy. How many teams are better than the Bills right now?
How could they? No, none. Zero. They beat Kansas City.
Yeah.
They're 8-3. They had a little slump in the middle of the year. Quarterbacks recovered. They won back-to-back games in Detroit, once against Cleveland, once against the Lions. That was tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Short week with the snowstorm. They got a lot of games at home. Three out of the last five are in their building. I'm sorry. Four out of their last. They got six games left. They're 8-3. So four out of their last. I think it's 4-6. Maybe 3-6 is in their building.
Yep.
They have to play at Cincinnati. That will be tricky. We'll keep an eye on that game. game later in the year. But, you know, you're going to tell me Kansas City or Buffalo won in Arrowhead. You're going to tell me Miami or the Jets. They both have to go to Buffalo to play. So I can't sit there and tell you that the Dolphins, despite beating the Buffalo Bills in Miami, are better than the Bills. They haven't gone to Orchard Park yet. Buffalo, last year, the Chiefs built a beat. If McDermott handles the game properly at the end, I definitely think Buffalo is one of the top two or three teams. They're not the clear-cut favorite, but there is nobody that you can sit there and say right now, well, they're not as good as them, so they can't go to the Super Bowl. Nonsense. They're as good as anybody in that conference, and they're an even bet to play in Glendale in early February. An even bet with the Chiefs, maybe Cincinnati, an even bet.
You know what? I'd appreciate it in the future if you start off the show at least coming close to being right. That would go a long way towards elevating the quality of the show. I'm very proud of the job that you've done. You've done a fantastic job, but this is not your greatest start to being on First Take in the morning at 10 a.m. Usually at 10 a.m., you wait until about 10:05 to 10:10 to be wrong. You didn't even wait a minute to time it right. You're absolutely wrong about this. First of all, the Chiefs look better. The Miami Dolphins look better. And thirdly and more importantly, I don't want to hear that weak excuse of an argument. Well, excuse me, they beat the Chiefs. Chiefs haven't lost in the last five games. They had a bye week, so they haven't lost in 6 weeks, okay? Since that 24-20 loss to the Buffalo Bills, they've won five straight. And if you want to go the argument of, oh, well, Buffalo beat Kansas City. Well, you know something? Who did you have going to the Super Bowl out of the NFC?
Dallas.
Right. Who did Dallas lose to?
The Eagles.
No, I'm sorry. Dallas lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this year.
Opening week.
They lost to the Green Bay Packers just a couple weeks ago.
Yes, they did.
Excuse me. Are they either better than the Cowboys? No. So the fact of the matter is, just because you beat a particular team when you faced them weeks ago doesn't make you the better team than them now. You had an off week. That's what happened to the Chiefs. I'm not saying that the Buffalo Bills can't go to the Super Bowl. Remember, that was my preseason pick to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. But I have to confess that when I'm looking at a team right now, because the list is fluid. When I'm looking at them right now, the Chiefs look better. Number one passing offense. Number one offense in yards. Number one offense in points scored. That's the Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes, with Travis Kelce and the crew, okay? With Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy calling the plays. That's what I'm looking at. With a defense that's not god-awful the way that they were in the past. I'm looking at Miami and the Dolphins as arguably the most scariest offense in all of football with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. I'm looking at a Buffalo Bills team with Josh Allen, who is a stud, who I got a lot of love for, but has been struggling as of late. Walked into the game on Thanksgiving, throwing six interceptions over the last three games. Don't get me started with the turnovers in the red zone. Don't get me started with some of their injuries. Obviously, lately, to Von Miller. Okay, Micah Hyde's been out for most of the season. He's going to be gone for the rest of the season, okay? So you're compromised defensively. Offensively, you don't look on your A game. And in the midst of all of that, Miami and Kansas City are looking as potent as they're looking. You are wrong, Mad Dog Rousseau. You are wrong.
Did you miss the last 35 seconds in Detroit when he went right down the field, Allen, and kicked
so
the field goal to win the game?
Against the Detroit Lions? That's what we're doing.
Now we're going to knock the Lions left and right? That's what we're going to do?
What do you mean now we're going to knock the Lions? I've been knocking the Lions.
I like Campbell.
They've been competitive. They've been getting better. They're not the god-awful franchise
that they were.
But they're still up and coming. They don't know how to win yet. They've invented new ways to lose week after week after week. And the bottom line is, it ain't the greatest thing in the world on your resume beat the Detroit Lions. Stop.
Excuse me. The Cincinnati Bengals have won five of their last six.
Right. I could bring them up, too.
You could.
Where do they fit in this picture?
Right, but again, I didn't say Buffalo's that much better than all these teams.
You did say they're
no,
the
I
team.
Didn't. I said that Buffalo is in the mix with Cincinnati and Kansas
City. Excuse me. We asked that question. How many teams in the AFC are better than the Bills? Your answer is no one.
No one.
That's what you say. Excuse me, did we misquote you? Are you accusing us of misquoting you? Do we need to roll the tape back?
But here's the difference.
I can be like Tom Cruise in a few minutes. I'll turn the tape back. I can play the tape back.
Get the question right. The question is, how many teams are better than the Bills? None. Is the question saying the Bills the best team? No.
No. How many teams in the AFC?
So you're saying they're in the
right
mix.
They're in the mix with everybody
else. In the mix. So who's equal to the Buffalo Bills?
Kansas City, that's it.
Okay, so the Cincinnati Bengals.
The Bengals and the Dolphins are not in there. The Dolphins? Let me see Tua play a game in cold weather. Last year he was terrible in Tennessee.
We haven't seen him yet play in cold. All we have to go on with Tua is that every game he started and finished this year, they're undefeated. That's all we have to go on this year. Now, we'll find out when he gets in inclement weather. Yeah. I'll give you that. But the fact of the matter is, until that happens, you can't speak against him. And by the way, what I've said is not Tua. I've said Tyreek Hill. That's what I've been
focused on. He's great. No question. But he's 0-3 when Tua doesn't play. Let's not forget that.
Excuse me. He had 177 yards receiving in one game with Teddy Bridgewater throwing him the football. You gonna forget that?
They lost.
I thought you said it was
a team
game.
10 points they lost.
I thought you said it was a team
game. Minnesota. Here's the thing about Miami.
They scored 10 points.
Here's the thing about Minnesota. You got me talking Cousins. He's great, by the way.
He's not great.
Yeah, we'll get to him later.
All right, we will.
Here is the thing about Miami, okay?
What?
Their next three games are at San Francisco.
Okay.
They just flexed the Charger game. They're going to play Sunday night in L.A. against the Chargers.
Okay.
And then they play in Buffalo. Okay? Three road games in a row.
Okay.
Win two of them.
Hey.
Win two.
Excuse me.
That's a split against San Francisco and the Bills and beat the Chargers. Then we can start to put them in the category where Buffalo is.
All right.
Is that fair?
Sure.
So right now we're not going to put them in that category.
Excuse me.
Thank you.
Excuse me. It is fair. The point is, until that happens, we're talking about right now. The list is fluid. The list is fluid.
Steven.
The fact of the matter is that, listen. No, Stevie. The point is, if you look at the Miami Dolphins and what they've done thus far, they're right now looking better than the Buffalo Bills. I'm not saying that'll last, but right now they and Kansas City and arguably Cincinnati are looking better than the Buffalo Bills.
When you talk about teams who are the best teams, there's got to be a little precedence. There's got to be a little foundation. Every time we see two in cold weather, Flores took them out. Last year in Tennessee, benched them at halftime and they got buried. The year before in Buffalo, he brought Ryan Fitzpatrick in. Can I at least see Tua play when the elements are tough? Can I at least see him play against a big defense where he's not going to be able to find these receivers? And he's got them on this level. That isn't fair. That's not fair.
Let me tell you what is fair. What is fair, Mad Dog Russo, is that you started off your soliloquy or diatribe, whatever word is most appropriate, by pointing out how the Buffalo Bills beat Kansas City. I noticed how you forgot to bring up the fact that Miami beat Buffalo.
It was hot that day.
Oh, I see. So, wait a minute. So,
it was warm.
Let me get this straight. So, not only did you forget to bring up, or conveniently forget, get engaged in selective amnesia when it came to bringing up the fact that the argument that you made for Buffalo actually worked against them with Miami. You forgot that. But then you said, can I see Tua in inclement weather? Let's see him in a freezing cold. But then I bring up the loss that Buffalo suffered. Hell, it was hot. I mean, really? So 1 minute you're complaining about, you're saying you want to see him in cold weather, but now you're pointing out how Josh Allen lost in hot weather. You can't make up your mind. I mean, you're just making this stuff up as you go along. You know it's true. It is ridiculous what you just said. You want to take
it? I'm done with this.
Do you want to retract for the cameras? Watch, bro. I'll give you one chance.
No way.
You said, freezing temperatures and then just said Josh Allen lost because of the heat.
Well, they couldn't get the field goal on. You know, they couldn't get the field goal on in time.
Okay.
Here's the thing.
They play each other December 18th.
That's
what he messed up. And I'll help you out. What you messed up is that Stephon Diggs caught cramps that game. So he went down because of the hot weather.
Here are the two
best. You should have been saying.
Here are the two best teams in the AFC until further notice.
Okay.
Bills, Chiefs.
And the Chiefs, got it.
That's it.
I'm cool with that. But Miami's in the mix.
No, you can't put them in the mix.
Miami might win a division.
You guys, gentlemen.
Two out of three against San Francisco.
The debate's over.
Georgia.
Don't you know the signals by now when I'm wrapping the debate? It doesn't mean continue it. It's over.
Well, he knows I won, so he wants to continue to fight.
No, you're both doing it.
So is it about your passion or ours? I thought it was about our passions, too.
Yeah.
We have feelings,
yes,
too.
Yes, but guess what? There's passionate fans at home that want to know about what Luka did last night as well. Thank you. Luka Doncic is a man amongst boys. Last night, he had his third 40-point triple-double this season in a 116-113 win over the Warriors, the only player in the NBA this season with a 40-point triple-double. The Mavericks certainly needed this, having lost their previous four of five games and last six to fall a game below 500 before hosting the defending champs who eliminated Dallas in the Western Conference Finals last season. Here's Jason Kidd on his superstar's greatness.
Yeah, it's getting boring. I mean, what else? Let's see something different. Do something, maybe do it with his left hand. I'm just joking. Look, he's one of the best in the world. And that's what he does. You know, we, again, I've said this earlier, some of us in this room can take him for granted. The man is special.
All right, early into the NBA season, Luka and Steph have shown they are two of the best in the league yet again, with Luka averaging the most points per game with 33.5 and Steph not too far behind in second, averaging 31.4, all while distributing the ball around with while players ranking in the top 20 in assists per game. All right, there she is, Monica McNeck. Good morning. Thank you so much for being with us.
What's going on, Eminem?
Good morning.
How you do? How you do?
Hey, team. Listen, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. I got the hoop last night, and then I slept in because I'm old now.
Okay. All right. All right. We'll go
I
with
love
that.
It.
We'll go
okay.
with that. We'll go. You don't look old. You don't look old.
Listen, Stephen A.
Thank
slept
you.
Yesterday, too.
That's right. I did. I did. I slept right on the West Side Highway. That's where I slept. But it's all right. It's okay. Okay. Right.
I'm just going to let it live till the end of the week.
Y'all can take I can take it. I'm supposed to be here. No
okay.
excuses.
Mad Dogs, who's having the more impressive season? Is it Luka or Steph?
Well, I'm going to say Luka. You know, he doesn't make his free throws, which drives me crazy. And he's always moaning and groaning with the officials. He never commits a foul. He gets fouled, and that drives me crazy, too. But he doesn't have a whole lot to work with compared to Curry. Plus, he plays. Curry did not play two games in New Orleans, which still has me bothered.
Oh,
those
boy.
Poor fans sitting in the upper deck who bought a ticket in October. Hey, Mom and Dad, can you take me to the Golden State game at home? Because I want to be able to see Curry play the world's champ. Can I get – and they bought him the ticket the first game, and he said, hey, Mom, Curry didn't play. So they went out and dug deep into their pockets to buy the ticket for the second game, and Curry again sat, didn't play. So the fact that Curry – upset the people of New Orleans and sat two games. Doncic just sat once, but it was a home game, not on the road. The fact that he did that and the fact that Doncic has nobody around him. Tim Hardaway, really? No?
They did have 22 last night.
You know what I mean. You want to put Hardaway on a big-time championship team?
I think he can play a role.
A role? Yes, he's not going to start on a big-time championship
okay, that's
team.
Fair enough, but
so from that standpoint,
he's not a scrub.
No, nice. He's a rotation player on a big team.
Okay.
How's that?
All right. That matters. That matters.
Rotation. Yeah,
rotations matter.
So is Scott Wedman. All right.
Stop that. That's ridiculous. that's ridiculous.
Gee whiz,
stop that. You have lost your mind.
No way.
Continue.
All right,
continue.
Here's
man.
The bottom line. Doncic right now, listen, historically, Curry, right this second after 22 games, Doncic is a better player this year in these games.
Go ahead, Eminem.
Mad Dog, you got to relax over two games, my dear friend. But anyway, I think you just said it yourself. When we have the conversation about history, 50, 40, 90 from Steph, and while I get it, these are the defending champions, it's not as if this roster has not been without its flaws this year. So again, we're seeing Steph have to carry sort of the load early on without, you know, Klay being necessarily efficient. The second unit of this group, we know the defensive issues are well documented. So I struggle with, in your mind, the two games being the Achilles heel that would weaken Steph in this argument. But I think right now he's doing something historic at plus 10 years in his career. And we know that he's the person that's game planned for every night when it comes to this Warriors offense, as is Luka. I don't think that this margin in this conversation is very wide. But history, we're watching history. That matters. You got to go with Steph right now.
I don't think you have to. I think that Luka is a leading candidate for league MVP honors. I will officially, on national television, throw Jason Tatum into that conversation for the Boston mm-hmm. Celtics. If you don't know, you should ask somebody. This brother is special, and he is putting on a show and trying to make amends for his struggling performance in the NBA Finals. But Jason Tatum is a superstar in this league, and he plays like one, night in, night out basis. You got to contend with that brother. I'd put him right there. Luka, obviously, is having a sensational season, and I think that it's an indictment to some degree against the Dallas Mavericks. You got to get him some additional help. You cannot ask Luka to carry the load that he's carrying for but so long. You got to look at a star like that, and you have to get complimentary pieces. And you're listening to somebody that covered Allen Iverson when he was with the Philadelphia 76ers, and I'll never forget the year that he went to the finals. Yeah, you had guys like Eric Snow, Aaron McKee, George Lynch, Theo Ratliff before that, and then after that, Dikembe Mutombo and others. I get all of that, and there were clearly no stars but Allen Iverson.
But the brilliance of Larry Brown, Billy King, and Pat Croce and those guys was that they surrounded him with guys who played their roles to perfection. That's what they did. Everyone knew their job, and they did their job, which was what made it, which is what enabled Allen Iverson to do the things he was capable of doing. If you're Dallas and you can't go out there and get a star, then you got to get complementary pieces that make life easier for a Luka Doncic so he doesn't have to do so much. Steph Curry is phenomenal. Steph Curry is a future Hall of Famer. He's the greatest shooter I've ever seen. The conditioning that he's in, constantly moving without the ball, all of this other stuff, it's magnificent. And I would say this for Eminem. Even though I agree with you, Doggy, here's the part that you could say about Steph Curry. Klay Thompson had 5 points last night. Now, we know how I feel about Klay Thompson. I'm a huge Klay Thompson fan, and I got on him a few weeks ago, like, stop all of this stuff like being a head case. You're a four-time champion. Stop acting like you got something to prove. All you have to prove is that you got to get healthy. That's it. You don't have anything else to prove. We know what you can do, Klay. Just go out there and do it. You cannot go and shoot 2 for 9 and have 5 points and expect the Warriors to be what we know them to be. You, Klay Thompson, you got to find a way to do more than that. In terms of your point about Steph Curry, I will say this. Teams make these decisions these days rather than the players in terms of sitting out. Steph Curry in the past has come back to fans and make sure he ingratiated himself with them after sitting out a game or whatever. But I'm inclined to agree with you in this part. You're the star. I don't want to hear that somebody made you sit out. You're the star. You can sit up there and say, I already missed one game in this city. They came to see me. I need to show up. Because superstars throughout NBA history, and Eminem, you know this, regardless of what facial expression you're making, because you tired and you stayed up late playing ball and all that stuff last night. You know I'm telling the truth. The fact of the matter is we have seen instances in the past where superstars know they're coming to see me. I got to show up. Back-to-back trips to the same city, you can't miss both of those games if you're healthy. You owe them better than that because those fans came to see you. So I don't disagree with you.
I'm surprised. You're on my side.
It's a rare
which is rare.
It's a rare occurrence. It's a rare occurrence.
Which is rare.
That's where we are. That's where we are, Molly.
All right.
Right.
Monica, final word?
The butterfly has to go back to sleep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. In her cocoon.
I wish it was that easy.
Yeah. That's right.
And in your cocoon.
That's right.
Stay protected.
That's right.
Okay.
Stay protected.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles
sales on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com. The U.S. defeats Iran. Let's go. Advancing to the knockout round of the FIFA World Cup, the Americas won 1-0 behind a goal from Christian Pulisic in the 38th minute and will next play the Netherlands on Saturday. After scoring the game-winning goal and suffering an abdominal injury, Pulisic was taken to the hospital and posted this in celebration, saying, "So proud of my guys. I'll be ready Saturday. Don't worry." It's not every day we get a visit from Taylor Twellman. We know this is big time. Taylor, are you with us? There he is.
Yes,
Taylor, how are we
first
doing?
First time, long-time listener. Thanks for having me, Molly.
Oh, my gosh.
My pleasure.
I'm a long-time listener, too. Been seeing you on SportsCenter doing your thing. So good to have you. Tell me this. Should this World Cup already be considered a success for the U.S.?
Yes, absolutely, because I'm on First Take talking to you guys about America's team, and no longer America's team is the Cowboys, Stephen A., because the truth is, okay, when you go on social media, whether it was U.S.-England on Black Friday or even yesterday, U.S.-Iran, every conversation in all sports, from no matter who it is, has been about the U.S. men. Now, Stephen A. and I had a real good discussion about 6 months ago when the United States struggled against Canada. They lost to Canada, and Greg Berhalter, the manager, talked about that being a success. And I thought Stephen A. hit the nail on the head saying, whoa, 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 wait a minute. We lost the game. How is that a success? The truth of the matter is this. Greg Berhalter assessed the team. He saw where the flaws are. They've only given up one goal in three games. That was on a penalty. Yes, they're struggling to score goals. But us as Americans in all sports, we look at it and say we dominate every sport. The truth of the matter is we do not dominate men's soccer. We may at some point, but right now in 2022, we don't. So to get out of your group at the World Cup, to be one of the best 16 teams in the world, that unequivocally is a success. It's very difficult for Americans, and particularly us in sports media, to call that a success. But the reality is, Molly, Stephen A. and Christopher, absolutely 100% this is a success to this point, because it is the youngest, most inexperienced team the United States men have ever had at a World Cup. Now they're playing with house money, and they're going into the 2026 World Cup, where they will host that World Cup here in the United States.
Now, Taylor, I like you. I defer to you when I mean, because I don't get to watch too much soccer, obviously. I'm a busy man and the whole bit. But let me ask you this question. What's the U.S. What's Team USA's record in World Cup competition? What's their record?
Right now, they've won one game and tied two.
They've won one game and tied two. How many goals have they scored in these three games?
From my understanding, two.
Come on, man. It's a success. Really? That's what we're doing now? This is the United States of America. This is the United States of America.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Are they playing on Saturday? Are they playing on Saturday?
Yes, they are.
Wait, hold on. Are they playing on Saturday in a knockout game in the World Cup? Answer me. Yes or no? It's a yes or no question.
Yes. I said yes.
Yeah, they got out of their group.
I said
yes. Is that task number one? Whether you finish first or second, is get out of the group. Yes or no?
Okay. All right. I mean, listen.
They got out of their group.
This is a debate show.
They got out of the group.
I'm in no position to debate with you about soccer. You know that. I can't debate with you about soccer.
Why?
I know better.
Why not?
I'm not qualified. I don't know enough.
How about we debate about attire? Because I'll tell you right now, Mad Dog Russo, you give him a lot of shtick for how he dresses. I'm not going to lie to you. I like the camel look. He looks good today. Give him some credit there then. You want to debate that? Because you don't debate that with reason.
I will say this. He doesn't look better than me. But we can go on another subject. We can move back to the soccer. But his outfit doesn't
compare. I don't know. I think he does today.
I mean, please.
This is classy. Now, Taylor. I will fight Stevie's argument. All right.
That's right.
Have they made the knockout rounds in the past? This franchise, this United States soccer. Have they made this? Have they gotten to the round of 16?
Yes, they have. Yes, they have. Yes.
Have they gotten to the round of 8 previously? Yes, they did
once. 2002.
Okay, so they have gotten to this level, and they've gone beyond this level. Mm-hmm. My cohort in crime said, hold on now. They played 180 minutes of soccer. They played, 270 minutes of soccer. They've scored how many goals?
Two
goals. There's the head coach calling Steve right now. They've scored two goals in 270 minutes. All right. Is Iran a big deal in soccer?
Mm-hmm.
Is Iran a big deal in soccer?
No.
Yeah, they're the best team in Asia. So in their confederation, Iran, absolutely they are.
I could put together a group of forwards at New Canaan High School.
Whoa.
Who have more athletic ability putting the ball in the net than Iran. Iran is atrocious.
I would not go that far. That's an extreme statement.
Iran is atrocious.
That's a terrible
offensive team. Terrible. Terrible. They did nothing
first
in
off,
this
that's
game.
Disrespectful to New Canaan High School because they actually got a decent team. So, but carry on.
How do you guys all know about Connecticut sports?
Another one for you. How many goals did Wales score? Without penalty kicks in the three games?
From my understanding,
zero.
One. That's it.
On a penalty kick. They did not score against England.
You mean
England.
Without the penalty kick? They scored the penalty kick against the United States. That's it.
That's it. Nothing. So, in other words, we are going to have we're going to have the Today Show lead with this, and I'm going to have you come on and talk to Stevie and I and tell me that I'm supposed to go because we beat Iran. And we figured out a way to tie Wales, and we got to the round of 16.
No, you guys, you have completely, this is what you guys do, and they got out of the group. You asked me if this was a success. You didn't ask me if I should celebrate and go all across and take a tour and have a celebration about beating Iran. That is not what the celebration is. The celebration is three games. How do you use the three games and manipulate them to your to the way you can do it to the best of your ability to get out of the group? They did that. And how did they do that? If they scored nine goals and still did the same thing, it's still the same result. There's a million ways to skin a cat. They chose to defend first and score goals second. That's what they've done. They're out of the group. You can't change the question. The question was, is this a success? You didn't ask me, should we over-celebrate and set a tour for US-Iran? I'm not going to do that because, quite honestly, in the second half, it wasn't good enough. That's a different discussion. The real question was, is this a success? And unequivocally, the answer is yes. You got out of the group the same way England did. It does not matter. There's no other answer to this.
Well, I will say this. There are various ways to look at this, Taylor. Like, for example, when you're the United States of America and you take into account other sports and what the expectation is, right? Obviously, Team USA Soccer doesn't have those expectations. Excuse me. So you get out of this round, all right, and you're going to be playing on Saturday where you're expected to be the underdog against the Netherlands. It's last time I checked, okay? So we watch them. Then we look at these three games, okay, and you score one or two goals. You can't you're impotent offensively, all right? You can't get it done. Can't really score. Don't have any kind of offense whatsoever. Nothing to brag at home about. Well, all right, you're correct from the standpoint. Look, they're playing this weekend. But the fact is, that's all we really, really had to look forward to. You know, they made it to the weekend. Because there are no expectations when it comes to this team. Because as we look at them, we see a multitude of teams that might be better. And more importantly, we see an inability for them to score. And as a result of it, we're saying, all right, okay, let's be patriotic and support the team. But we don't really believe in them being in the elite in any way. And that's where I'm coming from with it. That's all. But I'm happy for them.
I have no problem with that, Stephen A. I have no problem with that because they are an underdog. They thrive in the underdog role because 9 out of 10 times at this level, they are the underdog. I'm not sitting here saying you should be really that confident about going into the Netherlands game. The sportsbook would tell you it's 3-1 odds for the United States to beat the Netherlands in 90 minutes. They're telling you what it is. However, the question was, getting out of the group, is that a success? The United States men are one of the best 16 teams in the world, and that is hard, as I said before, for America to accept. But the reality is, the question is, was it a success? The answer is yes. There's no debate to that.
I'm going to support Team USA.
They were the
16th, I'm rooting for them.
They were the 16th seed. They're the 16th seed, right? 16th best country in the world coming into this?
Yeah, but
Yeah, and how many teams make the round of 16?
Honestly,
No. First off, the piece of paper to my right of me on my desk is worth more than those rankings. In 2006, we were ranked, because I was on the team, fifth in the world. We didn't get out of our group.
Well,
those rankings for the United States
of
America and the media, they look at it, it's fine. But honestly, it is the most convoluted process. They don't mean anything.
I'll ask you a different way. If I asked a soccer fan, should the U.S. have gotten out of the group, this group, the answer would have been yes.
The answer, so 100%, they would say yes.
So why is it a success? They did what they were supposed to do. All right, that doesn't make it a success.
All right. I have nothing to add.
Now we'll
because
see
if they don't do what they were supposed to do, it's by definition a failure.
Okay.
That's fair.
You know what, Taylor? You were made for the show. Feisty, just like these two.
I don't mind. I don't mind.
This was a lot of fun. I appreciate it. Taylor Twellman, thank you so much.
Score a couple of goals. It'd be nice. I just want Team USA to score a couple of goals.
I agree, Stephen A.
Yes.
Impotent.
Right. Welcome.
Impotent. Kind of like that blazer.
Oh, my God.
You know better.
Nice choice of
You know better. You'll probably be wearing this next week.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. The latest ranking for the college football playoff were announced. Stephen A. was reading that, with Georgia remaining number one. And thanks to their big win over Ohio State, Michigan has climbed up to number two, while Ohio State fell to number five, being passed by TCU and USC, who play in their respective conference title games this week. Where's my guy? Paul Feinbaum. How we doing, Paul? Good?
I'm What's just up, great. Paul? I'm still laughing over the last segment. And so is the world. Hey, guys.
Paul, I hope the world's laughing. Okay, I'm going to get right to college football and play this very straight. Should Ohio State get in if TCU loses, Paul?
Yes. Well, I answered too quickly.
Okay.
I thought you said USC. No, I think TCU, to me, should not lose a spot because they are in a championship game and Ohio State isn't. And I think that's really the rub here. It's happened before. Alabama did that a couple of years ago. They got in when they did not play for the championship. But Southern Cal will drop out because it would be the second straight loss. But TCU has had a good resume. I know we've had some fun with them this year, Dog and Stephen A. But they're starting to impress me. I know I'm the last guy to the party, and I may not even get in the party. But I think they should stay in, should they lose, unless it's just a complete annihilation.
Go ahead.
I think I agree with you. They probably should, but you and I both know they won't. If TCU loses to Kansas State, they're going to take them out. And let's assume USC beats Utah. They're going to take them out. I think the big question right now is it Ohio State or Alabama if one of these two lose? Now, I know you're probably, and Stevie, the same thing. Well, Stevie will go with me. I would think I would take Alabama. They'd take Ohio State because they only have the one loss, and Alabama has two. But Ohio State got blown out second half at home, and Alabama played two great games and lost on the last play of the game on the road at Tennessee and at LSU. Now, they put Ohio State fifth, and they don't play, so they'll probably be the team that slips in, and I do think TCU will fall out. But if somebody fell out, I'd put Alabama in before I put Ohio State in.
Let me say this on national TV. Get them damn things off the television so I can look into America's eyes when I say what I'm about to say to Paul Feinbaum and the rest of the nation, okay? Look, TCU, I want to applaud you for a great season that you've had. You win this game against Kansas State, who you beat earlier in the year, 38-28. I think it was on October 22nd. More power to you. But I want to go back to the schedule that TCU has had. She beat Colorado. Only reason we're talking about them is because they won primetime Deion Sanders. If it wasn't for that, we wouldn't be talking about them. Okay? We got Tarleton State. Congratulations. Never heard of them in my life. Never heard of that school in my life, ever. All right? I don't know where it's at. I don't know what kind of – I've never heard of them in my life. Okay? All right? Then we got the SMUs, Oklahoma, Kansas, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, West Virginia, Texas Tech, Texas. Okay, you beat them 17-10, Baylor. You beat 29-28, Iowa State. It doesn't exactly knock your socks off. So, TCU, I was impressed with what I saw from you last week as well. You better win this damn game. You better win it. You want to be in the playoff picture? You better win. You don't get to lose this game, and you stay in the playoff picture. TCU, handle your business. All right? Then we can't say nothing because you'll be undefeated and you deserve to be there. You don't? Sorry. Going to be out. Now let me get to Alabama. Paul Feinbaum, we had this discussion yesterday. Ohio State did not lose. They got their ass kicked. There's a difference. Now, they lose a thriller to Michigan, okay? Considering that heated rivalry, even though I didn't consider it much of one, Ohio State was 17-4 in the previous 21 matchups against them. Michigan hadn't beaten them back at Ohio State since 2002 or whenever it was, okay? Before Michigan won last year, Ohio State had won like 8 straight, all right? We understand all of that, that Ohio State is supposed to be a rivalry, but it didn't look like one, but we understand the tradition. But you don't lose like that on your home turf and get to be in the playoffs, and get to have a second shot at Michigan. Remember when Alabama and Georgia last year, Alabama won the SEC title game. But you know what? It was relatively close until late. The fact of the matter is, then you go and you meet it for the national championship game. When I look at Michigan, Ohio State don't even deserve the opportunity to face Michigan again in a college football playoff when you get your behind whipped that bad. They got stomped. We got to take the off of the Ohio State. Just call them Ohio State. That's how bad they got beat. This is one week in educational history, you know, from a television standpoint, when we actually think about the student athletes, the football players on Ohio State, we understand if they show up to class this week. We understand if they don't show up on campus this week. We understand if they hide in their doors. We understand if they took Christmas holidays early and said, we just going to go home. We don't want to subject ourselves. When you get beat like that by a rival, it's hard to show your face. I respect the hell out of Ohio State. I know the history. But I'm like, damn. I mean, Eddie George and everybody that played at Ohio State, that was a pretty bad beatdown. 28-3 in the second half.
I think he's right, Paul.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Paul.
And at home, too, Stevie.
Yes.
At home.
I said at home. That's what I'm talking about.
In Columbus.
Go ahead, Paul.
I will quote Shakespeare here just for the sake of argument. Oh. Stephen A., that was a lot of sound and fury signifying nothing. And I tell you why. It sounded great, but this is not a one-team playoff at this point. This committee looked at it, and you're both wrong for this reason. The committee has already spoken. Last night, they put Ohio State 5 and Alabama 6. What does that mean? It's not going to change. There's nothing happening for Ohio State and Alabama this weekend. Even though you both made a lot of noise, you were histrionic, it's not going to change because neither one can do anything about it. The only thing at stake this weekend is whether SC wins against Utah. And if TCU wins, if TCU loses, then there's a conversation about whether they deserve to be or not. But you guys have just made just two wonderful speeches about Alabama, and it doesn't matter.
Mm. All right. I'm going to leave it on that. Everything you said doesn't matter. You heard Paul. This does matter to me, though, Paul. Deion Sanders said Monday that he was offered the Colorado head coaching job, among others. Paul, you think he should give this serious consideration to go there?
I think he should, and I think it's fantastic that major, well, schools are offering Deion Sanders jobs. My problem is I think Colorado is a garbage job. It has been dead for a long time, and some of it is self-inflicted. Remember, Mel Tucker was there a couple of years ago, and he got out of there so fast after 1 year to go to Michigan State. I mean, he literally jumped off the top of the Rocky Mountains and Pikes Peak. There's very little recruiting base. Now, can Deion change that? Of course he can. I mean, he's a phenomenal recruiter, but I think he would be wise, this is just an opinion here, to wait. There will be better jobs coming along, Stephen A.
Well, let me say this. First of all, I'd like to know what those better jobs are, but secondly, I don't disagree with you. Primetime Deion Sanders, he's a friend. In the interest of full disclosure, we're pretty tight. And I love the brother, and I know what coaching means to him on a collegiate and a prep level. He always wanted to be in this position to help these kids, and he's doing it. And I give him a lot of props for that. And what he's done for HBCUs, I just can't say enough. It's just that somebody at HBCUs are near and dear to me. What he's done has been beyond profound. I don't want him to take this Colorado job. I'm mad Auburn didn't hire him. I'm very upset that Auburn didn't hire him. I'm beyond furious, even though Florida State has come on as of late and they had a respectable season. There is no way in hell that primetime Deion Sanders should not be the head coach at Florida State, where he starred as an All-American and was one of, if not the elite cornerback in the game. You understand what he did on the collegiate level and what he's done on the professional level and his way of communicating with the troops and galvanizing these young men to be the best that they can be. How are you Florida State and you passed up on that? As far as I'm concerned, you're just a decent program. With Deion Sanders, you could have been a national title hopeful. You would have been in the national spotlight consistently. You might be giving Dabo and Clemson a run for their money in the ACC. I mean, all of this stuff. Me personally, I would hope for him to either be in an SEC school or at Florida State. That would be my preference for Deion Sanders, not Colorado. But I don't blame him for considering it because how can you count on anybody to come through?
Well, number one, Mel Tucker, what he did to Colorado, Paul, was a disgrace. He can lose as much as he wants at Michigan State. I'm down on him. We had one good year. He bailed. He took a fortune. And Michigan State stinks. So I don't. Enough of Mel Tucker. The timing wasn't right for him at Florida State. We didn't get into coaching until they already hired Norville. And now Florida State's turned it around. What do you want, to fire the head coach who doesn't deserve to be fired to bring Deion in there? That's not fair.
I'm not saying he should be fired. I'm saying that he ain't Deion. He ain't dead. I'm saying whatever job he's doing, Deion would have done better. That's all I'm saying. Saying he's bad. Okay. I'm not saying he can't coach.
What's the solution
I'm not saying
now?
He hasn't had a decent season. But he ain't prime time.
Well, what's the solution now? Deion wants to coach in a big program, and Florida State's doing better. Well, you got to fire the guy at Florida State to bring Deion in? That's not fair. The timing isn't right.
You know, I've got a friend in California. You know what he tells me? Fair is a place where they judge pigs. Doesn't okay. exist.
So you want him out to hire Deion at Florida State?
I ain't going to lie to you. If I'm Florida State,
right,
I say this, y'all. If I'm Florida State and the job, I'm not saying the coach deserves to be fired, but if I'm Florida State, the job that I've seen Deion Sanders do, I'd strongly consider it. I'd strongly consider moving on, get Deion up in there because right. the athletes he's going to bring
with
him.
We got to leave it there. We'll continue this conversation. Keyshawn was here yesterday and was very strong in the fact he thought that Deion should take the job.
At Colorado.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree with him.